Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans 16. Meet me there in just a moment for us to read together. We're thankful that you're here. We've got guests. We're honored that you've come to be with us. We want you to know you're very important to us. If we can help you in any way, we hope you'll have the confidence to call upon us. And we want you to come back, be a part of our services every time that you possibly can. We're thankful for every member of this congregation. Glad you're able to be with us. Be noting those who aren't able to be with us today so that we'd be making contact with them throughout the coming days of the week ahead of us. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. Romans 16, beginning in verse 1. I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, for she hath been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the Gentiles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelaeus, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apuleius, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Priscus, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother of mine, and his mother and mine. Salute Asclepius, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologius, and Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now don't feel guilty if your heart didn't flutter as we read through all of those names. I mean, we've all sat through those roll calls, haven't we? You remember back when you were in school and they'd call the roll? Fortunately, most of the time they did it in alphabetical order. And so, you know, you could visit with your friends and everything until they got to the R's. And then here, I'm here. Remember that? We've all sat through them. We don't pay a lot of attention to list. In fact, as I, over the last few weeks, have been thinking about this chapter and that I wanted to talk about this, I talked to a few of the men and I said, would you like to read this section of scripture for me this morning? And, you know, at first, without looking, they said, sure. And then some of them said, you want 16 verses? And they backed out because of 16 verses. And the one that 16 verses didn't matter to them, as soon as they figured out it was a lot of those names, they said, I don't think I want to do that. You know, if anything, we want to skip the list. Just jump over the list. Just jump over those names. They can't be all that important anyway. Just skip the list. You know, a while back, several years ago, I was called up for jury duty. There were 70 of us who were called for jury duty, and they called the roll. The unfortunate thing was they didn't do it in alphabetical order, so you had to pay attention. I mean, you had to pay attention, and so as I'm paying attention, you know, it became interesting to me. I remember on one occasion there was a name. The clerk said, Mrs. Carter, and a man spoke up, I'm here. Clerk spoke, Mrs. Carter, I'm here. I'm here. I said, I'm here. Listen, the roll says Mrs. Carter. And he said, well, you know, I got the mail and I thought it was for me. I opened it up and I didn't pay any attention. And so I'm here. I'm here. And the clerk said, but we summons Mrs. Carter. He said, well, she's not interested in these kind of things. I'm here. I mean, that's the way roles go, isn't it? Skip the roles. Skip the lists. But there are some things we can learn from this list. For instance, we can learn about the makeup of the congregation that meets in Rome, that met at Rome that Paul was writing to. There's a husband and wife there, Aquila and Priscilla. Did you notice? There's a husband and a wife there. There's a man and his mother, Rufus and his mother, verse number 13. There's a brother and sister, Nereissus and his sister, verse number 16. There are some brothers, a pair of brothers there, Andronicus and Junion, verse number 7. There's a pair of sisters, Tryphonia and Tryphosa, in verse number 12. There's an older man. He must be older. He's the first fruits of Paul's work in Achaia. And by the time Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome, he's referred to as he refers to himself as the old man. He must be an older man, Epaphroditus. There's a single woman there, Mary, mentioned in verse number 6, and a single man, Herodian, in verse number 11. I wonder if any matchmaking going on in that congregation. We're not told, but we know something about the makeup. There's a well-blended makeup there of people who made up this congregation there at Rome. And yet to Paul, folks, don't call it a list. Don't call it a list. You'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, a few years ago, the War Memorial Veterans Wall, the movable one. I'll never get to go see the one in Washington, D.C. Out of the question, never going to happen. Wanted to all my life, never going to happen. But the mobile wall, the War Memorial Veterans Wall, came to Little Rock, Arkansas, and was placed out on the Capitol grounds in Little Rock. And I made a trip to see that wall. I stood in total silence. The streets had been blocked off around that area. You might hear traffic over on 630, I guess, but no one is paying any attention to that. And we stood in silence in line as it came to a log where it told the panel and the line that whatever person you were looking for the name was that, because, folks, there were 58,318 names on those panels at that time, and others have been added to it since then. Beautiful. 812 feet long, 10 feet tall, made out of black marble, quarried from Bangalore, India, and 58,318 names on there. I remember standing in the silence as you waited your turn to find the panel and the line that you were looking for the name of. I remember as I stood there, I remember seeing an older woman, and what might have been her daughter or her daughter-in-law, I can't be sure. And then the daughter or daughter-in-law's daughter, and then the daughter-in-law or daughter was holding her grandbaby. And I remember as they stood before the panel and looked at the line for the name that they were searching for. Don't call it a list to them, folks. Don't call it a list. I remember seeing an old man as he walked up to the wall on a cane and he stuck his finger into the granite. And he just pulled down his cap and turned and walked away. Don't call it a list to him. It's more than a list, isn't it? It's more than a list. I mean, even to me, I was just like so many others. I came with my white sheet of paper
and my graphite marking pencil. And I found the panel, and I found the line, and I found the name. And I laid it over the paper, over the name, and I used the graphite pencil to put it onto the paper. I still have it. It's under glass in a frame in a box of memories that I have. A classmate who at 18 years of age dropped out of school to serve in the Army. And 12 days after going to Vietnam, on one of the first maneuvers outside of his base, was killed in action. Don't call it a list to me, folks. It's more than a list, isn't it? It's more than a list. And this is more than a list to the Apostle Paul. These are people that mattered to him. These are people who cared to him, that he cared about, and who cared for him. These are the kind of people that when he's talking about them, he'd say, I couldn't have made it without them. I wouldn't be the man I am now if it had not been for them. Aquila and Priscilla, they put their necks on the line for me. Epinaeus, when I think about Epinaeus, I think about my work in Achaia, how long I labored and how many people I spoke to about the resurrected Jesus Christ. And I thought, no one's listening and no one's listening. And then Epinaeus. I remember after he was baptized that day, lying awake that night and thanking my God, someone finally has become a Christian in a chaos. Epinaeus. Mary. Mary, she's the one who was always working. She's the one who would often say, now, Paul, you go on home. You go on home. I'll clean up. I'll put everything away. Paul, you go on home. She performed much labor upon us. I remember saying to her, now, Mary, that's more than you ought to have to do by yourself. Mary, I'll stay around and help you. Now, Paul, I can do this. I can do this. Besides, you got to ride a donkey across Asia tomorrow, and I don't have to. Now, you go on home. Oh, Mary. She meant so much to me. I couldn't have done the things I've done. I couldn't have been the places I needed to be. I just couldn't have. Without Mary. There's Andronicus and Junia. We were in jail together. I can't imagine having been in that jail and not had them to encourage me, and I hope that I was able to encourage them. My fellow prisoners, you be sure you say hello to them. You be sure you tell them I said hi. And then there's those twins. They're down in verse 12 if you're keeping up with me. There's those twins. Sisters, twin sisters. You can hear it in their names, can't you? Tryphena and Tryphosa. You hear that? Tryphena and Tryphosa. There they were. I mean, every time the church was together, they labored in the Lord. Every time the church was assembled, I remember there, they'd come in dressed in the same dresses. You know, I never could tell them apart, really. They tell me that one of them parted their hair a little bit different than the other, but the truth is, I never knew whether I was talking to Tryphena or Tryphosa. But I know this much. When it came to working in the Lord, they were the workers. You be sure you tell them hello. You be sure you tell them. And then, of course, there's Rufus. He's just like a brother to me. Rufus. And his mother. Rufus and his mother, and she became like my mother. I mean, I spent so many hours in their home, and she was always doting over me. She was always concerned about whether I was eating or not. Now, Paul, even an apostle, has to eat. Paul, you sit down there and eat your lunch. I couldn't have made it without her. I couldn't have made it. Where was Paul when he wrote these things? You find out in the section of chapter 15. It's such a shame that our Bibles are divided. I'm glad for it. Don't misunderstand, because I can tell you where it's at, right? But any blessing can also be a curse if you don't recognize it. Back in chapter 15, just before what we read, right at the end of that, you find out the Apostle Paul is in Corinth. Gaius is his host, and he's not just Paul's host. He's the host of the whole church in Corinth. And there, Paul's been provided with kind of a secretary, you find at the end of chapter 16, Tertullus. And Paul tells Tertullus what he wants written, and Paul is in Gaius. And he's preparing to leave for Jerusalem because the saints in Macedonia and Achaia, Gentile Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, have heard about the poor saints, the Jewish Christians in Judea, in Jerusalem. And they've taken up a collection, and they've asked Paul, if he will, to deliver that donation that they've made. After all, if they've benefited spiritually from the Jews, then surely the Jews ought to benefit from them carnally or fleshly, monetarily. So Paul, would you take this back to the church at Jerusalem? And Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and then I'm coming to you who are at Rome, and then I'm going on to Spain. He's about 60 years old when he writes this letter. He dies somewhere at the age of 64 or 65, so he just has 4 or 5 more years to live. The Apostle Paul is now writing, and he's remembering people in the church at Rome that he had never been there. He just knows they're living there now. And he knows that they're true Christians. If they've moved to Rome, or if they've gone back to Rome and they've gone back to their city, they're not out of service like so many people do, so many Christians do. They move from one town to the next, and when they do, they just forget to find the Lord's church. But not these people. Not these folks. This is not a list, folks. These are people who had made a difference in Paul's life. These are people that Paul cared for deeply, and who cared for Paul deeply as well. Wow. Wow. You see, folks, Paul is saying, yeah, hello. He is. Salute. 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 We'd say, tell hello. Oh, and tell so-and-so hello, and tell this one hello. Yes, Paul's saying hello. But Paul's also saying goodbye. Listen to what he says in chapter 15. You can read this section, chapter 15, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 33. I've already given you an oversight of it. Paul tells them, I'm going to Rome to deliver this contribution that's been collected in Macedonia and Achaia for the poor saints that are in Jerusalem. And then I plan to go to Spain. And on my way to Spain, I'm going to come by to see you. And then he says, in that context, in verse 30, beginning, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Pray for me. Pray for me, Paul says. Unite with me in prayer. Pray for you About what, Paul? He's going to tell us. Look at verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service, which I have in Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. In a sense, folks, Paul's not just saying hello to these people in Romans chapter 16. He's saying goodbye. Because is he going to be delivered from them that do not believe in Jerusalem? No. He's going to be put under house arrest, and after house arrest, he's going to be have some accusations made against him, and the governor wants to release him, but because he feared the Jews, if Paul had just offered me money, I could have let him go. But instead, we'll send him to Rome. And Paul goes as a prisoner to Rome. In a sense, folks, Paul's not just saying hello, he's saying goodbye. Goodbye. I'd like for you to think about this. Maybe you've got a fly sheet in your Bible and a pen in your hand, or you've got a margin on your Bible, or you've got a piece of paper in your hand, or whatever. Maybe just do it in your mind. Write down. I thank God for all my remembrance of you. I thank God for all my remembrance of you. And then you begin filling in the blanks. Can you think of someone that you couldn't have made it without? They bestowed much labor on you. They put their neck on the line for you. She became just like a mother to me. I didn't get to attend her funeral last week. But Kimberly, now Blake, used to be Olliger, Clay Blake's wife's grandmother, passed away. Oh. I had other things that I already was committed to. I didn't get to attend that funeral. I remember on one occasion, I'll just share personal. I remember on one occasion, I was there preaching in a gospel meeting at the Formosa congregation. And they invited me home for a meal after services. I think we even had a potluck meal maybe. And then they invited me to their house afterwards. But there was a young lady, her last name was Kennedy. And she'd come to camp with us. Her family had no association with the church. She'd just come as a friend, a guest of Kimberly's. And this young lady was working at the, and she told me, and when I asked about her, she's working in the convenience store up there in Center Ridge. And I told Sister Rollins, I said, I tell you, I'd like to go visit her. And then I'll come back by. And she said, as long as you're back in time for supper. She said, now Erwin eats at 4:00. So I went to visit. And as Beverly will tell you, I get in when I want to get in. 4:00 came and went. We're still studying. Services are going to be at 7:00. And along about 6:00, I roll into Sister Ollinger's yard, and Brother and Sister Ollinger's yard. And she said, well, I packed it up and put it in the refrigerator. But I got a corn dog in the freezer. From then on, I said, you make the best corn dogs a man ever ate. Every time I would see her, I'd tease her. There's the woman that can make the best corn dog a man ever ate. She's just like a mother to me. Just like a mother. Is there anybody like that in your life? Anyone? You make the list. You make the list. I'm going to tell you, folks, we can all make them. We can all make them if we'll get out of our selfishness and start remembering. I didn't do this by myself. I didn't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. There were plenty of people who got me to where I am now. And I thank God for my remembrance of them. Don't you? Don't you? When I was a young man, I was blessed. I was blessed. I had Joe Spaulding on one side and Carol Seitz on the other. Joe Spaulding preached for the congregation at Higdon first. And when Joe decided, hey, they need something else, they got Brother Carol Seitz. And he came along and they took in a kid. And we put together every year, we put together when people from, they knew, some of you have been to it, some of you came to it, you'll remember this. But once a year, every year, at Devil's Fork Park, just right there on the lake, north of Higdon, every year people would come in. They'd come in their campers, they'd come stay in hotels in Heber Springs, or hotels over in Clinton or wherever. They would just come. And we were just all together. And I'd conduct the vacation Bible school for the children and their grandchildren and stuff like that all week long. I'd conduct the vacation Bible school, and then we'd share in the preaching and the gospel meeting in the evening at the Higdon building. I mean, it's just glorious times. Glorious times. Every Friday for all of those years, every Friday, after everything had kind of closed down and shut down, and all of those who were still there was a fire built, and we gathered around the fire, and Joe Spaulding knew everyone. And every year there were new ones who came in, every year. And we'd all circle around that fire, and the ones who were new would step inside the circle of the rest of us, and the rest would just close a circle around them. And Joe would introduce each one. And then each one of us, everyone that was there, would begin to introduce ourselves, and it would go something like this. My name's Cecil. And if you ever need your house wired, I'm an electrician. Call on me. Well, my name's Myrtle. And some say that I'm a pretty good cook. If you ever need food, please call on me. My name's Michael. And I can build a house. If you need something done, call on me. My name is Clyde. I don't know that I've got much talent, but I can mow a yard. If you ever need your yard mowed, call on me. And they'd go around the circle, sometimes 100, 150 people, and we'd stand there. And then Carol Seitz in his big old combat boots would kick sand on the fire. And then Joe Spaulding would say, you know, the Bible has a word for such things as this. It's called church. It's called church. Don't refer to it as a list, folks. It's more than a list, isn't it? And the one you make will be more than a list. And the ones I make, don't refer to it as a list. These are people who have made a difference. They have made a difference. And folks, we all need that. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never really seen the need for church. You maybe have been baptized into Christ, but you see no need for church.
Well, folks, for one thing, the saved are the church, Acts 2:47. But the church is the family of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And family is involved with family. Or at least my physical family, that's true. How about your spiritual family? You need the church. You need to be a member of it. That means you need to be saved. If you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, let it motivate you. Let it be just one more thing to motivate you to obey Christ, to become a Christian. This morning we'll take you as a believer who is willing to repent of your sins and baptize you into Jesus Christ. And that for the forgiveness of every sin you've committed. We'll rejoice with you as the angels in heaven rejoice because you've come home. If you're here, you're a child of God, you're a Christian. We encourage you. If you have needs in your life, we don't go it alone. We have each other. And we make use of one another. And we draw on the strengths of one another. And we build one another up and we encourage one another. And you can have you a list. That is not a list. It's more than a list. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.